Our sermon picks up from the reading that Steve did from Exodus. It's chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Then Moses answered, "But suppose the elders of Israel do not believe me or listen to me, but say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A staff." And the Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw the staff on the ground, and it became a snake, and Moses drew back from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and seize it by the tail." So he reached out his hand and grasped it, and it became a staff in his hand, so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Again the Lord said to him, "Put your hand inside your cloak." He put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, his hand was leprous, as white as snow. Then God said, "Put your hand back into your cloak." So he put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his body. If they will not believe you or heed the first sign, they may believe the second sign. If they will not believe even these two signs or heed you, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it out on the dry ground. And the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. But Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now that you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Then the Lord said to him, "Who gives speech to mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to speak." But he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else. Here we stand on holy ground, Lord, ready to meet with you and listen to you." I walked into the bathroom at the newspaper where I worked and immediately had a hissy fit. I went, Someone had slopped the pink liquid soap all over the counter. There were paper towels everywhere, even on the floor. The water was still running, and there was something in the sink. I didn't want to know what it was. Indignant, I stood there, and I put my hands on my hips. "I'm not cleaning up that mess," I said out loud. "Somebody else can clean it up." And I stopped right there. See, earlier that same week, the office football pool had started. It was simple. You picked the teams you thought would win, and whoever chose the most winners won the pot. I decided I wanted to use an alias for the pool, and I came up with the moniker "Somebody Else." I thought it would be funny on Tuesday morning to have people ask, "So, who won the football pool?" And the answer would be, "Somebody Else." It was a nicer alias than the other one I thought of using. "Well, it wasn't you." Someone would say, "So who won the football pool?" And the answer would be, "Well, it wasn't you." But standing there in the bathroom, looking at the mess somebody else had left, it hit me that alias was no joke. That alias was not something I would just use for the football pool. Now I had to be somebody else all the time. So I grabbed some more paper towels from the holder and wiped up the spilled soap. I ran some more water and cleaned the sink. I put all the used paper towels in the trash can, and for good measure, I wiped off the mirror. Yeah, I am somebody else. Another example, I was walking Winston the other day when I came upon some, shall we say, puppy presents on the sidewalk. I nearly stepped in them. I walked up the street fuming. How could someone just let their dog go right there on the sidewalk where other people could step in it? The least they could have done was kick it off to the side into the grass. Maybe somebody else will pick it up. Whoops. I turned around and used the paper I always carry with me to clean up the mess. Yeah, I am somebody else. I don't think it was coincidence that I had chosen that particular nickname. We're always talking about somebody else. Somebody else can feed the hungry children in our country. Somebody else can shelter the homeless in our cities. Somebody else can do this. Somebody else can do that. What's that semi-joking story? You've probably heard it before. Once upon a time, there were four people. Their names were Everybody, Somebody, Nobody, and Anybody. Whenever there was an important job to be done, everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. When nobody did it, everybody got angry because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought somebody would do it, But nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. So in the end, everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done in the first place. Aren't we all somebody else? I looked in the Bible for an example of someone who was somebody else, and Moses' story stood out right away. He was the ultimate example of somebody else. There he was out in the desert of Midian, tending his father-in-law's sheep, minding his own business, when God called him from out of the burning bush. And God's plan for Moses was major: go back to Egypt, the land from which Moses had fled as a fugitive for murder, and tell the Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. God spoke to Moses as though Moses was perfect for this particular job. God didn't ask Moses for his credentials. God didn't ask Moses for any ideas. God just told him, go. But Moses, priding himself on his practicality, protested. Me go to Pharaoh? I can't do that. I can't possibly go to the Pharaoh and tell him to let the people go. Who am I to do all that? Send somebody else, God. But God told him, Moses, you are somebody else. God saw more in Moses than Moses saw in himself. Moses made excuses. No one will listen to me. I can't speak well. You better send somebody else, God. But God told him, Moses, you are somebody else, the somebody else I want and need. We really can't blame Moses for his hesitancy and his fear and his uncertainty. Although he had grown up in the royal Egyptian household as a child, Moses had reverted back to his humble Hebrew roots and frankly didn't want to look back or go back. He was perfectly happy being a shepherd, far away from the troubles and sorrows of the Israelites still in bondage in Egypt. He was perfectly content as he was. He did not want to be something more, much less be somebody else. He knew how the Pharaoh and his government operated. They wouldn't listen to a lowly shepherd who couldn't speak eloquently. They wouldn't listen to a man with blood on his hands. Neither would the Israelite elders. Moses apparently knew better than God what had to be done and who should be sent to do it. So quite graciously, he gave God an out. You can find somebody more willing to go, God. Somebody better than me, somebody braver, somebody more eloquent, somebody else. I think we all have our Moses moments when we think God had better call somebody more qualified than we are to do God's work. Somebody more qualified to teach Sunday school. Somebody more qualified to sing in the choir. Somebody more qualified to visit people and invite them to church. Somebody more qualified to serve on the board or plan the community dinners. Somebody else. Like Moses, we think there is somebody else out there who can do better than we can. And like Moses, we forget that God has promised to be right there with us in any assignment God gives us. God was so patient with Moses as he tried to wrangle his way out of accepting the job God chose for him. God gave Moses two signs to perform, turning his shepherd's staff into a snake and making his hand leprous and then unleprous. And most important of all, God told Moses God's name. I am that I am. I will be what I will be. I will be what I was. With that to fortify him, Moses should have jumped to his feet and said, I'm leaving right now. Instead, he hemmed and hawed a little bit longer. And then obviously thinking he was doing God a favor, he turned down the assignment and told God, you can just send somebody else. You can give somebody else these wonderful signs of power and miraculousness. You can give somebody else the wonderful secret of your name. You can bless somebody else as they go and do your will and lead your people. I am content to stay here and be a nobody, not somebody else. But God's plan for Moses, God's plan for all of us, is to make us somebody else. All of us have a place and a part in God's grand scheme of life. We're the ones who think we're inadequate, unqualified, unsure, uncertain, unable. But God knows us better than we know ourselves. God knows our hearts, and God knows our weaknesses, and God plans ways to take our weaknesses and make them our strengths. Whenever we do something in God's name and for God's glory, whenever we accept that we are the somebody else we think God is waiting for, we can do good things, God things, great things. We are all somebody else. We all have a purpose.
short, tall, strong, weak, old, young, smart, not so smart. The whole secret to it is to be willing to be somebody else, to put aside your own fears and doubts and trust that the God who calls you will equip you. Maybe not with a staff that turns into a snake. You know, I hate snakes, so that's not something I'd like anyway. But with the right words to speak at the right time, with the courage to move forward in the face of fear, with the knowledge and conviction that although the world thinks very little of you, God thinks very highly of you. And God knows you are the somebody else God wants and needs. Do you ever think of that, that God needs you to be somebody else? Moses tried to restrict God, tried to tell God that God's choice of Moses wasn't the best one to make. He told God to send somebody else to the Pharaoh, and God said, I don't want somebody else. I want you, Moses. So what are you going to tell the great God of the universe when God calls you out of a burning bush or a snow-covered tree or a brick wall or any of the surprising ways God has of getting our attention? Are you going to say, like Moses, send somebody else? Moses started out on the right track. When he first went to the burning bush and God called his name, Moses said, here I am, hineni, a word that means, basically, I hear you calling me, and I am ready to do whatever you want me to do. Go wherever you want me to go. Moses said it at first, but then he showed he didn't really mean it. He was afraid to go, afraid to leave his comfortable but ordinary life behind, afraid to step out into the unknown and dangerous. He was afraid to be somebody else. God had to keep reassuring him that God would be with him. God who calls us will not abandon us. God got mad at Moses when he turned down the chance to be somebody else. But God was not going to back down. God wanted Moses to go to Pharaoh, and that's what Moses would do. God compromised by saying Aaron, Moses' older brother, would go and become Moses' mouthpiece. But you know what? In the end, Moses didn't need Aaron. Moses took his staff in his hand and went to Egypt and became a mighty prophet, speaking words of redemption and freedom, challenging Pharaoh and orchestrating the great Exodus. Moses went to Egypt and became somebody else. Moses' story shows us God can work through us and with us if we just make ourselves available. If we just say, yes, God, here I am, I will be somebody else. Moses' story shows us God is sufficient for us, no matter what real or imagined inadequacies we may have. God will bring God's plans to fruition. Maybe God will use somebody else to get God's work done. And maybe, just maybe, that somebody else is you. Let us pray. God, because we believe in and live for and love you, we are all somebodies in your sight. Make us the somebody else that you can use to bring your kingdom of redemption and righteousness and love and light to this world. Hineni, here we are, Lord. Send us. Amen.